Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 292, part 1, Worry. Today is Friday, May 17th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Friday, we ministered about people who desire to do nothing. And what a terrible sin it is when we're all in this holy war together. War on poverty, war on sin, and all these different things God has told us to do. Occupy until I return. And some of us are just occupying, you're hearing this on the radio, occupying space. We're all in this holy war together. It's not a one-man show or a one ministry or a certain group. God is going to ask everyone that question, where were you when? When I was sick and imprisoned and a widowed, when I was a hungered. And I, for one, would be pretty nervous if I couldn't answer that. Where were you when I needed some funds? Where were you? And so following after that message, I'm going to give a message today on worry. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Matthew 6 and 27. And I thought to myself, what a warning, and what kind of a warning is this Jesus is giving by asking this very question? Does this then mean we shouldn't take life seriously? No, it doesn't mean that at all. No, you see, Jesus was an earnest man. And he wants us to be earnest also. Be earnest in what you do. We're not to live this happy-go-lucky life. The Bible says we are to conquer the strongholds of the devil. And we do that by obeying God. The Bible also says we are to work while there is still day. Night is coming, you know, and day right now is fading. So it's not easy come and easy go, living in sort of a pretend world with no responsibilities. Foot loose and then fancy free. Able to take off at each phone call. Oh, there's the phone, I gotta go. With no restrictions in our life. With an attitude of anything goes in our life. No commitments. Oh, how we hate that word, commitment. No commitment. Only I'll come when I come and I'll go when I go. And I think these people are worse. They are hindrances. Because you never know when they're going to take off. And you never know when they're going to come. And they always expect you to have everything ready for them when they come. Well, what do you want me to do? Here I am. Well, big deal. Someone has taken your place. And so we don't want commitment. But you know, a lot of people live like this, with no goals, no course of action, no heading. When you fly that plane, you have a heading. Just one big search for fun. One big search to enjoy life to the very fullest for the flesh. No, I know the Lord wants us to be earnest people, committed, orderly, dependable, trustworthy, not malicious, fearful, gossips, busybodies. And really, there are those whose soul's soil is so shallow, it can't even grow a decent worry. When we backslide, we must stay busy replacing Jesus with all kinds of junk. But anyway, what do I mean? I mean there are those who are completely void, now listen to it, void of all and any worry. Void of it. And they only cause others to worry. And you know, they're the first ones to say, you know, you worry too much. They plow through life, not a worry, not a care. Their life is consumed with pleasing themselves. I believe then they are so busy at doing this, they have no time to worry. Usually these are the do-nothing slugs, the sloths. Now you who do worry think you have to do all the worrying for them too. Isn't that the way it is? You got the doers and then you got the watchers. Stop it. God wants us to be earnest in life, but not worriers. God didn't call you to be the mom of the world, nitpicking everyone. Oh, why won't they learn, people? He doesn't want you to be mom of the world. So you see, Jesus is not warning us against thought. A thought-out life. And I think for the most part these words are misunderstood about taking thought. For instance, he said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. He's not forbidding us to look ahead. If there ever was a man that took thought of tomorrow, Jesus did. He said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And since then that he thought about tomorrow, he wants you to do the very same thing. See, we must live thought out lives. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to think about tomorrow. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to think about next week. Maybe just turn these down a little bit. Seek God and go to bed, get up, go to work. Those are all things you have to think about. Got to get your clothes ready. Got to get your tools ready. Got to get your business ready. Got to get your church ready. So there is a thought-out life. There is a preparing for each new day. When you get into the original Greek, you'll find out there's a whole lot of difference in what you think that the word does say. Well, okay then, what is he warning us against? He is warning us against an anxious thought for tomorrow. Don't get anxious. Prepare, but don't prepare with anxious thoughts. Don't think anxiously. And so Jesus is always wanting us to face tomorrow with an attitude of faith, with an attitude of trust, with an attitude of hope, not a anxious, sweaty, nervous, nail-chewing, fretful, feverish anxiety, no. And so he says, which of you by taking thought or by being anxious can add one cubit to his stature? Why do we need to hear this word? Because many of us worry. Some to excess. I believe we right now are in the very age of worry. The world has a song, The Age of Aquarius. That's something to worry about. But I believe we're in an age right now where there's a great amount of worry. And it says in the end, men's hearts will fail. And so living in this atmosphere and this anxiousness, we're in that age, we're in that sort of an atmosphere. Well, is it because of circumstances? Well, yeah, circumstances are bad right now all over the world. We're ready for World War III any minute. Maybe by computer error. I don't know. But you see, worry is not the child of circumstances. If you're worried, and if you worry, depends upon a, let's say, situation, you're always going to be worrying. Because you're always going to have a situation to worry about. Good or bad. See, give thought, but don't give an anxious thought. Have organized thought. It's like packing bread. If you're not organized, you just run around in a circle. Not scrambled thoughts. Not gut freezer thoughts. Do you know what gut freezer thoughts are? How many know what gut freezer thoughts are? It's when your gut freezes up. It's when you have to do something you're afraid of. You become fearful and you worry about it. And the biggest thing is you worry about failing. I've had to overcome that one a lot of times. Well, you mean you do fear? Well, hey, we're more than overcomers. Through Christ, we have to have something to overcome. Are you hearing this? Oh, I hear it. You listen on the radio. You hear this because, see, there's a lot of you that worry. Scramble thoughts. Gut freezer thoughts, like when you're in a foxhole and you promise God, oh God, I'll give you my life, I promise. Until you get out of the foxhole. During stress. And then there's people who freak out when all is well. They can't stand the pressure of ease. And so they worry about that. See, whenever you're robbed by worry, it's an inside job. Worry the robber. It gets on the inside, cases the joint, learns where your alarm system is, finds out when you are most vulnerable. Worry the robber. It knows where your, let's say, safety deposit box of hidden things are. Blackmailing materials, that wolf that we hide under our clothes that eats at our vitals. We all have them. We're so worried someone will find out. Well, the Bible says, confess your faults one another, that ye may be healed. See, anything that's put out in the light. Hey, the light dispels the darkness. Get it out there. I'm not saying get up and just give every little nasty thought you have. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have time for nothing else. Are you hearing this? Yes, worry the robber keeps you on edge. Grinding your teeth when you're asleep. Grind, grind, grind. Makes you to have sort of like armed guards posted. Maybe a getaway car if trouble starts. All because of worry, which is an inside job. But anyway, whatever the reasons for worry, many are doing it. It's a national pastime. To sit around and worry. Sit around and fellowship in the bars. Drink away your worry. I used to do a lot of that. Solve all the problems of the world until the next day I couldn't get out of the house because my head was so big. My legs were weak. I was more fearful. But many are doing it right now, and even in the Christian world. Well, ignorant people worry, someone called me one time. They don't know any better. What dummies, right? Well, I said educated people worry. They have a lot to worry about. Air pollution. The ant problem. The stock market. Tax breaks. No, old people worry. They're getting closer to the end. Well, who loves poor old me anyway? Well, don't worry about it, old people. Hardly anybody loves you. Does that shock you? My God, it is the truth. It is the truth. Don't worry about it, old people. Hardly anybody loves you. And I'm not trying to get you on a pity trip. I'm just trying to tell you, stiffen up your backbone and get going. And stop worrying about how many people love you. Hardly anybody. Half of them are waiting for you to die so they can take your money. Hey, the truth, and the truth will set you free. Get you out of that mean old arthritic rocking chair. Well, young people worry, don't they? Oh, yes, they do, all the way from little kids. And they are programmed by mom and dad, by the way. Or grandparents. Yeah, we worry. We have a whole life ahead of us. You've gone through all this before. Things are such a mess, a young person called me. They're such a mess. What am I ever to do? What kind of a job will I ever find? Will I get a man? Will I get a woman? Do people like me? I don't even know if I like myself. Young people thoughts. You know, they have on these glue-on nails. And I look for it, but I think later on, because young people hate their looks. Oh, I just hate myself. I hate this. I hate that. I hate this. They'll have on glue-on noses and glue-on ears. They're so worried about themselves. They get to be about 30-some years old, 28 or whatever, and they get a little quarter bald spot in the back of their head, and they'll spend most of the day worrying about that bald spot. The only thing they cause is for it to be instead of a quarter, a 50-cent piece, and then a silver dollar, then a chrome dome. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm lucky to have any hair on my face at all. And so I'm ministering from within my own self here. Something that I have experienced in my own life. And then we have people who don't know Jesus. They worry because they have no faith. And then people who do know Jesus worry because they don't know Him well enough. Are you hearing this? And so we've taken groups of people into this teaching and that teaching and all over, and we've never taught them how to go to work. How to be a practical Christian. Oh, who wants to get practical? We want to be spiritual. We want to be spiritual giants in Jesus. We want to have all the gifts of the Spirit. I'll give you a gift, a shovel and a hammer and a plow. That's what Jesus says. You want gifts? Here's your gift. Work it out. Here's a truck. Here's your arms and legs. These are your gifts. They're to glorify God with. Here's your mouth. Glorify God with it. Here's your mind. Have that mind that is the mind of Christ as much as is within you. I'll give you gifts, but see, we don't want those gifts. Call that a gift? Oh, I have the gift of discernment. Well, there's a pile of dirt. Do you discern that needs moving? There's a field out there. Are you just going to claim it to be plowed? In the name of Jesus, I claim it to be plowed. Well, you better claim it. Well, you've got a harness around your neck, and that horse is pulling you down. Down the furrow. Are you hearing this? These are gifts. Your body is your treasure. And your treasure is to be invested in the kingdom of God. So you give your treasure to God. Your life. Your work. What is your life's work? Well, we want to do the things of God, they said. And he says, well, I'll tell you what to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and prove it by obeying Him and going to work. And so anyway, we have a large gathering of worriers, all kinds of them. We worry about our bodies. That's all you see on TV now. Health plans and, exercise. Come on down here. We'll give you exercise. Well, we're working with 35,000 people here. We'll give you all the exercise you need. You will walk out of here 40 pounds lighter in a month. I'm going to go on TV and make those claims, and the people will just flock down there. Oh, I know where I can lose 40 pounds in 1 month. See, because we love our bodies so much. Now, it's nice to like your body, not to misuse it. And we worry about our souls and people's opinions. Aren't we worried about people's opinions a lot? Well, sometimes it works out because it keeps us out of sin because we're worried about what people might think. Not what God might think, what people might think. Then we worry about people that don't have an opinion. What do you think about this? I don't think nothing about it. What? You must think something about it. Come on now. Explain yourself. It's kind of like we were trying to get you to explain your dream that you had, Paul. Right? We wouldn't give up. We just said, well, come on, you must know something about that dream. No, I really don't. Well, come on now. What do you mean you don't? Well, you're just being honest. We couldn't stand it. Wanted you to explain it. What a dumb dream if you don't remember any of it, you know. The only thing he knew is he was all by himself. I'm in a room and I'm all by myself. That's it. Then we had to ask questions. Why were you there? What were you doing there? Well, I don't know. Yeah, and that's the same way we worry about people's opinions. I wonder what they think of this. What do they think of it? What do you think people will think of it? And then we worry about what might happen. Spend a lot of time worrying about what might happen, don't we? Well, this could happen, you know. Don't we? And we worry about our kids. Oh, how we worry about them. Most times because, see, it's a reflection on us. Now, you stupid kid, what are people ever going to think about me? They're going to say, what kind of a mom or dad are you? And we worry about our mates, and we worry about our jobs, and we worry about payment. Well, hey, either you're going to pay it or you're not going to pay it. I mean, a good worrier never puts in only 40 hours a week. It isn't something you punch in and punch out of. A good worrier puts in, hey, as much overtime as it takes. He is a very faithful servant to worry. He is on a, let's say, 24-hour call, ready to meet the challenge, open to any suggestion. And so they worry at work, and they worry at home, and they worry on vacation, they worry while they're in their bed. They can't come to any concrete decision. And usually they'll try to make it so someone else isn't making the decision. And when they are really needed to make some kind of a decision, when the burden is heavy, when the load is unbearable for one person, when clear heads are needed, this is usually the time they pick to worry and fall apart and get depressed and get anxious and usually cause chaos. With no rhyme and no reason. And so I, yes, believe we need this word of warning. Because worry is so worthless. Which of you, being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? All you short people, worry will not increase your height one inch. Do you remember when you were going through that with your height? You couldn't worry yourself an inch or two, could you? And all of a sudden you stopped worrying about it and prayed about it and you grew 4 or 5 inches. I do think that song, though, Short People, was satanic. You remember that song, Come Out Short People, huh? Little teeny hands and little teeny feet and all that. Imagine how those short people felt. Wow. But there was a big sale on these great big platform shoes. Because they were worried about what people thought. But going on, we all do dumb. Is that a good word? Yeah, I like that word. We all do dumb, useless, silly, no point to it things. All of us. But no one has done anything more useless than to worry. You know what? It won't get you anywhere. It will never lift a load. It will never solve a problem. It won't erase any of your wrinkles. Well, wrinkles will start sagging and bagging. It'll cause your body to malfunction because you're worried. I think there are a couple of things people shouldn't worry about. Just a couple here, and I'll give them to you. I think one is things you can't help. Some things we should just accept, like gravity. There's things you have to accept. You will be sick. Oh, what a negative confession. I just claim I will never be ill in the name of Jesus. How are you ever going to pray for the sick if there's nobody ever going to get sick? No, I hate to tell you this, I'm as charismatic as the next person, but I think there's a lot of preaching that's just nonsense. And every time they get a little bit sick, they say, no, I'm not sick, it's just a symptom. Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again, they'll put on your tombstone, you died of symptomatitis. Yeah. We worry about what people will think if we say anything negative. It's going to rain today. We worry about how we look in the faith circles. And I think there's a lot of things we would like to avoid if we could. But we can't. So we should meet them without anxiety, like your monthly bills. Now, you young people listening already, you don't have them kind of bills yet, but you will have. Surely they will come your way. And maybe you're worrying about them before you leave home, and so maybe you're just staying home. Don't worry about them. They will come your way. Isn't that right, Mick? Isn't that right, Kent? Your business, they come. You just count on it. Count on having a mailbox full of bills. And so we'd like to avoid that, but we have to accept that there are things in this world that are certainly going to be the way they are. This is not heaven. Taxes are going to come your way, and death is going to come your way. Why worry about it? There's a lot of people who worry about dying. Don't worry about it. You're already dead. And then there are those that try their very level best so that no one will find out how old they are. How old are you? None of your business. and they worry for a couple of years. It's easy to figure out someone's age, and most of us can do it. And we spend a great deal of time doing it, too. Well, let's see, they got kids, one's 19, got married when she was, well, then she must be so, huh? I think one way to avoid old age is to die. How's that for counsel? Of course, then, the word die is a bigger word than getting old. And so don't worry about things you can't help. Just get busy helping, and that will take care of the worry. Did you ever wake up and the covers are in a knot? You were cold all night. Did you get up? No, you froze all night. No? See, we can avoid, I'm saying, anxiety many, many times, like getting cold. If you're sick, worry will only aggravate it. Well, I'm not feeling well. Oh, and then you take on the sick slump. Oh, not feeling too good. You take on the sick attitude. You take on that sort of a slow, easy, take it easy, a slow, sick walk. Oh, and the sick voice. Hello? I won't be in today. I'm sick. And the person said, I'm glad you're not coming in today. Maybe they'd like to say, I'm sick of you being sick. Huh? How many are hearing this word today? And so they worry about being sick and get sicker, and I think that's sick. But not only does worry hurt the worrier, but it makes those they live with miserable also. Doesn't it? They bring their worry to the supper table and ruin everybody else's appetite but their own. Oh, I'm so unhappy, that's why I eat so much. Huh? And so they sort of Don DeLuise through supper. See? And so, definitely right now, as I'm speaking, worry is a sin. Are you hearing this, worriers? Or maybe you don't want to hear it. Sometimes people don't want. Listen, radio audience, turn the radio back on again. If you're thinking about turning it off, leave it alone. Don't worry about, you might hear something that might convict you a little bit. Praise God, you're still convictable. Worry when you're not convictable. Are you hearing this?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 292. That was part one. A couple quick trivia notes for Pastor Paul's podcast. Get your pen and pen out. The first podcast started May 23rd on Pentecost 2007. There were 100 episodes with part one. There were, from episode 101 to 292, there were two parts, a total of 294. Add that to 100, and we have 394 podcasts minus one, which happened this Easter. There was one part. So we are turning the corner. And I think last count was 1,200 of Pastor Paul's messages. So let's do some quick math. 1,200 minus, we'll just count, 292. Doing it longhand, no calculator. 8, carry the 1, 0, 11, 9. Let's see, 2, 9, 10, 11, 908 messages to go times 2, 8, 2 times 8 is 16, 2, 0, 1, 9 times 2, 18, 1,816 parts, part 1 and part 2. So, so we're doing pretty good. 1,816 part 1 and part 2s. And let's divide that 908, and we do 1 a week, 908 tapes and messages left to go. 908 divided by 52 weeks out of the year. That is 152 be 8, 4, 48. Bring down the 8. 5 goes into 40 about 8 times. 8 times 2 is 16. 41. 9. 9, 18. 9 times 45, 46. Yep. 46, 0, 20, over 20. So about 19 and a half years to go, and we will be finished. 19 and a half years. Is that right? 52 weeks into 908 messages. 52 times 19 is 908. I'm turning 60 on May 21st, so 60 plus 19 and a half years, 79 and a half. So I will be, when I finish at that rate, I will be 80 years old, give or take a week or so. The same age that Pastor Paul is right now. It's nothing to worry about. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here, which is Pentecost, our anniversary. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own
banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.